Welcome back to the Brave Her podcast. This is going to be episode 2 of a 3-part series where I am talking about and breaking down everything you need to know if you're a mom who struggles with being irritable with your kids or feels guilty when you snap at your kids or finds yourself being more cranky than you'd like. I'm offering a bunch of mindset shifts and practical tips over this 3-part series to help you feel better about this, to help you feel less impatient with your kids, and to set yourself up and your life up with some structures and strategies to help this happen less often. So I'm really excited to dive into part 2 of this series. If you haven't listened to part 1, I would highly encourage you to do so. It was just released last week. And in that episode, we talked about the importance of approaching this whole issue with a lot of self-compassion and a lot of grace, and understanding that as a woman in today's modern world, you are dealing with so much that it's inevitable at times you're going to be a human who gets cranky, who snaps at your kids or your husband, who has a little emotional meltdown, who yells maybe a bit more than you'd like. Like, these things are all going to happen. And you're human, and that it happens to all of us. And so just taking a big deep breath and letting yourself off the hook a little bit, you are normal. Okay. We also chatted a little bit about the fact that sometimes we think we need to be perfect as moms, right? We think that we're never allowed to lose our mind or, you know, snap at our kids. But in fact, having moments of disagreement or frustration with our kids or irritation with them can actually serve as good learning experiences for our kids. Okay. Again, of course, I'm never advocating being a complete jerk to your kids and being miserable with them all the time, but I am just providing a little bit of a shift for you to remember that there is value even in the moments when you're not at your best. Okay. We are actually going to dive into this a whole bunch more in episode 3 of this series. So stay tuned for that. Okay. I talked a little bit about the fact that these episodes are going to be helpful for moms who find themselves getting overwhelmed and irritable with their kids. And I'm hoping they're going to be supportive, whether you know, are a stay-at-home mom and you're navigating just managing a household and raising children, whether you work from home, whether you work outside of the home, or any combination of that. I'm hoping that you can take these strategies that work for you and implement them into your life. As always, this is not going to be an exhaustive review of everything you could possibly do to help remedy this issue, but these are some of the things that I share with my clients when I'm working with them on this issue, and that I found to be either supportive for me in my own life or supportive for them as well. In last episode, we also chatted about transition routines. So if you're curious about what that is, head on back to episode 1 of this series. Okay, super duper excited about today's episode, because we're going to continue this discussion and I'm going to share more mindset shifts and more strategies to help you feel a bit more patient, a bit more calm, and reduce those incidents of irritability and snapping at your kids that we all hate. And we're going to do this, like I said, with mindset shifts, but also looking at how we're managing our time and our energy and how we do tasks throughout our day. Okay. Sometimes we think that how we feel, like we're irritable and we're snappy with our kids, like we don't have much control over that, but we do. And I'm a firm believer that if you're intentional about how you manage yourself, you know, keeping in mind some different things about your brain and how it works, and if you struggle with perfectionism, if we're really intentional about how we plan our days and how we manage ourselves, we can reduce how overwhelmed we feel and how overstimulated we feel and how irritable we get with our kids. So really excited about that. So the one thing I want to start off with is a mindset shift that I find is very helpful for all moms everywhere. Okay. And that is reminding myself and reminding you that we're learning how to be moms every single day. Okay. And I've often had people be like, but I have 3 kids. Like, I'm an experienced mom. And I'm like, right, you are so experienced and you have so much wisdom. But today is the very first day that you have ever parented children at these ages. Right. So yes, I'm a mom of 5-year-old twin girls, and every single day, it's a brand new experience of me being a mom of kids who are 5 years old, 4 months old, and 3 days old. They're different. Kids are constantly changing. Their brains are changeable and complex, and they're always changing, which is so amazing. But what that means is that every day parenting them is going to be different. Every day being a mom to them is going to require you to learn new strategies and skills. And what might have worked to before with your kids might not work. I remember when my girls were babies, it always seemed to me that, you know, whatever we were struggling with, we were only struggling with certain things for like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, right? Sleep regression or nursing issue or, you know, biting or any of those sorts of kind of toddler and baby things. Like they would be around for maybe 2 to 3 weeks. And if you just waited, their brain would change and evolve more and we'd have a new problem to deal with, right? And it reminds me of this because that's still what's happening. Even if our kids are older, even if they're, you know, 8, 10 teenagers, even their brains are still developing every single day. And they're learning more things and they're doing new things and they're trying new things and they're learning how to be humans every single day. And as us, as their mothers, we're learning how to parent that new version of them every single day. Okay. So why is this important? I think sometimes we give ourselves no room for error. We're thinking like, you've been a mom, you should know better. So you shouldn't lose your temper. You shouldn't be impatient. You should have this handled. And if you hear yourself saying that to you, if your inner critic is saying that, I want you to hear me to say, actually, I'm brand new at this every single day. Every single day, I'm parenting a child who's a different age. And I'll even say this to my own kids. We're going to talk about kind of conflict resolution and apologizing in next episode as well. But I'll say this to my kids all the time, right? If I've acted in a way I do not prefer, or I've snapped at them or yelled or, you know, whatever I've done, and I'm repairing that with them, I'll often say, you know what, I am so sorry that I did that. And I hope that you'll understand that I'm learning every single day how to be your mom. I'm figuring this out every single day. And it's really not to make excuses for how I behaved, but that it's a reality, right? It lets us off the hook a little bit. It allows children to also see that we're humans who make mistakes. And so it's okay for them to be humans that make mistakes. And it's allowing them to see that it's okay to be a beginner at something and to accept that sometimes you're going to act in ways you don't like, and that it's okay that that can be repaired. Right. And the beautiful thing about this is that when we say these sorts of things to our kids, we often hear them back. So more than once, when I have been in the midst of an apology and saying, I'm really sorry I yelled at you, or I'm really sorry this happened, I've had one or two, both of my daughters at sometimes say, it's okay, mommy, you're just learning how to be a mommy too. And I love that, right? It's amazing. My words come back to me and I'm like, right. And it lets me off the hook. Because the truth is, when we lose our patience with our kids and we snap at our kids, it's often not our kids that beat us up about it. It's our own brain. It's what our inner voice tells us about that. Okay. It's like when we behave in a way, we instantly judge ourselves so harshly and we shame ourselves and we're after ourselves and we tell ourselves we're terrible mothers. And so I really love to just remind you of this, that you're a brand new mom every single day to a child who's a different age every single day, to introduce a bit of doubt in that brutal self-critic, right? And just saying like, actually, no, I'm not a terrible mom. I'm still just figuring this out. And again, adding in the context that we're figuring this out and in a really intense time of our lives, right? If you have young kids or teenagers, like it's intense to be raising small humans who are constantly changing. And we're doing it in the setting of, you know, now what are we in or out of the pandemic? I'm not even sure. There's, you know, the Ukraine-Russian crisis going on. The world is changing so much. It's an intense time to be a human. So not only are we learning how to be a new mom every single day, but we're also doing it in this really stressful context. So just again, more evidence for self-compassion and grace as we navigate this issue. Okay. So that's your mindset shift for today. And now I want to shift into talking about how we can actually reduce the incidence of us feeling really overwhelmed and getting really snappy or getting really irritable with our kids by how we manage our behaviors and our time and our energy, okay? And the first thing I want to talk about, and you might feel a little called out, is multitasking. Okay. If you've heard me speak about multitasking before, you will remember that I always say, we all think we're multitaskers. In fact, many, you know, societal things, social media will make it out to seem like women especially are great multitaskers. The reality of multitasking is that our brains, like neuroscience proven, cannot actually multitask. Our brains cannot run two tasks simultaneously, okay? And you're thinking, but Carly, I always multitask, right? I'll have, you know, past the boiling on the stove, I'll be folding a load of laundry and my kid will be watching a show as I'm talking to my husband on the phone, right? Like, you think you're multitasking because that's what it feels like you're doing. But in fact, what your brain is doing is task switching between those tasks very quickly. So it is not possible to have your cognitive attention focused on more than one task at a time. But what you can do is be folding laundry really quickly, and then you're tuning into your husband, and then you're watching your child, and then you're checking the pasta, and right? So you're actually just doing many, many tasks in sequence rather than in series rather than in sequence. We're not doing things at the same time. We're doing things one after the other and just switching really, really fast. In fact, the task switching happens so quickly that we don't realize we're doing it. But there's something important to know about the task switching. Okay. Task switching, there's been research to show that when we change our focus from one task to another, it actually takes up more cognitive resources from our brain than if we had just completed one task and then moved on to the other task. Going between tasks actually takes up a lot more resources. And why does that matter? So when we are a busy mom with lots of things on the go, our cognitive resources, we have a lot of demands on them. And cognitive resources are things like patience, our ability to focus, our concentration, our ability to process information, just kind of like a bucket of resources that we need to live our life in our brain, basically. Okay. So when you are task switching a lot, when you're multitasking, you're using up a lot of those extra resources that you need, and you're emptying your resource tank faster than you might in another time if you weren't multitasking. And what this does is that when we drain our resource tank, that's when we're more likely to get snappy. That's when we're more likely to get irritable, is because we've drained out all of our resource tank. So let's be really wise users of our resources in our brain and reduce multitasking. One of the most foolproof ways to reduce the incidence of you losing your temper and getting impatient and being irritable with your kids is to do one thing at a time. Not only is it important to do that, but it's literally the only thing you can actually do. Like, your brain literally is only doing one thing at a time, and it can only focus on one thing at a time. It's just that we believe that we can do multiple things at one time, and we can't. Multitasking is a huge reason for sensory overload, feeling really overwhelmed, right? And let's be honest, our families don't make it easy on us. If your family's anything like mine, like, both kids will be talking to me and my husband's having a conversation and I'm cooking dinner. Like, there's just a lot going on. We raise busy families, we have busy lives. And so sometimes this means being really honest and intentional with how you direct your attention with your family. So there are lots of times that my husband will be talking to me and my one daughter will be talking to me, and I actually have to stop and kind of put my hands up and say, like, I can only talk to one of you at one time. So I'll ask my husband, can you please wait a second? I'll direct my full attention to my daughter and then return to him, right? And in doing that, I'll actually say, I can only do one thing at a time. I can only do one thing at a time. And I say that out loud really intentionally for two reasons. One, it reminds your family that you are a human and you can only do one thing at a time, but it also reminds you to focus on one task at a time. The third thing that it does, which I love, is it teaches everyone else around them that they too have the luxury of only doing one thing at a time, right? That they can remind you that they can only do one thing at a time when you're asking them to do 20 things at once, okay? So it's just this really beautiful moment of, like, remembering that I'm a human and my brain is limited and I can only do one thing at a time, right? Sometimes I'll even add in when I'm talking to my kids, because we know how kids are. I don't know if your kids are like mine, but they're like, mommy, can we do a craft? And mommy, can you make me lunch? And mommy, can you do this? And mommy, I want to take the dog out. And mommy, I'm doing, like, they're all over the place. And so quite often I will say, and I borrow this from a very amazing friend of mine, where she says, mommy's not a superhero. Like, I am figuring this out as I go, and I can only do one thing at a time. So what would you like me to do right now? Right? And even saying that, you're like, oh, it feels so much more relaxing. And kids are little, even who are little can understand that, right? Mommy is not a superhero. What would you like me to do first? And it helps them realize that you're right. Like, maybe mommy can't do all these things. And when they are a little bit more intentional, or you can say that to them, then you feel less burden of having to do a million things at one time. So the first practical strategy I want to offer in this episode is just to be aware of how many times in your day you are multitasking, and be really intentional about focusing on one task at one time. Okay. One task, one time. We're going to talk a little bit about this a little bit later in this episode as well. Okay. Another way that I experience multitasking and that I've often heard from clients about multitasking is cognitive multitasking. For example, when you're with your kids, right? Like you're eating supper or you're reading them a bedtime story, but your brain is somewhere else, right? Your brain is thinking about work. Your brain is thinking about that project that's due. Your brain is thinking about that birthday thing coming up. Your brain is thinking about other things. Okay. This is like cognitive multitasking. You're not actually physically multitasking, but your brain is somewhere else and you're reading. Okay. Or you're snuggling with your kids or you're bathing them or whatever. You want to be present with them, but you can't. That's usually what I hear. It's like, I want to be with my kids on the bike ride, but really I'm distracted thinking about work. And so this also leads us to be irritable and overwhelmed because, again, our cognitive resources are divided. We're like reading a book and thinking about, you know, something else. And so what this does, again, drains the resource tank, leads us to feel more irritable, more short-tempered, maybe be a bit more snappy, and or just be not present with our kids, which we all feel guilty and don't like doing. So one strategy that I recommend for this is something that I do myself when I have a really structured schedule. And even when I don't, is I'm really intentional about time blocking and using a calendar or an agenda. Now, if you work, you know, if you are a working mom and you work out of the house or you work in the house and you have a schedule, maybe you take a lot of meetings every day or you, you know, plan your day in chunks, you might be familiar with time blocking, but you may not have ever considered doing it for your out of work time. And this is really valuable. So what does this look like? What do I mean? And this can work even if you don't work, but it'll just need a little bit more creativity. So I've talked about this in other places as well, but the strategy is basically this. I have a calendar that shows me a week at a time. Okay. Where I can see the whole day, like the days stretched out in front of me. And I pick the top five places I'd like to spend my time and attention. And these places are, what are my priorities in my life? So for example, work is one, family is one, marriage / social time is one, self-care is one. And then for myself, I have now my entrepreneurship and my business building that is also an important priority in my life. These are all places that I want to have time designated and energy designated during my week. So at the beginning of the week on Sunday, I'll typically look ahead and I will intentionally position time blocks for each of these things. Now, some things are more secured if you have work hours. So maybe your work block is 8 to 4, okay? Monday through Friday or whatever. You can put your schedule however it is. Then you would start with your next most important priority. So for me, that's self-care, shocker. And so I will figure out where in the other remaining time outside of work, I'm going to block in time for self-care. I love doing mornings. That may not be your fit, but whatever works for your life, you block that in. So for me, it's like work starts at 9 till 3 or wherever I am, depending on where I'm working. So from, you know, 6:30 to 7:30 before everybody gets up, that's my like yoga, meditation, self-care time. And I'll block that in Monday through Friday. Then I will look at my evenings, right? So your life might look like mine from say 4:30 to 7:30 when my kids go to bed. That I always designate as family time. That's when we're doing dinner. That's maybe when we're going to watch a movie. We're doing an activity. We have something going on. And so I will block that time off and I will often color it a different color. So I highlight all these different blocks a different color just as a kind of a cognitive aid. And usually family time is yellow. I don't know why, but it just sticks in my head. So the yellow blocks are always family time. And then I'll fit in the other things. So you just basically fit in all the important priorities. One evening a week after the kids go to bed from 7:30 to 10 will be like the marriage / social time. So I make sure Ryan and I have a night every night that we're really spending time together and being intentional about marriage, whatever. But figuring out what the big blocks are in your life and then positioning those things so they all have a place, okay? It is not so important that they are balanced in time or that, you know, that it's super rigid and down to the minute. It's more that you're showing your brain that you have an allotted time for the things that are important to you, specifically like work things or business things. You have allotted time. So for example, you might allot, if you're building a business like I do and am running a business, you might allot like, you know, Wednesday evening, 7:30 to 9 is when I'm going to work on my business. And the beautiful part about this is that when you're in the moment, when you're in the yellow family time and your brain drops in and is like, hey, what we're supposed to work on X, Y, and Z for the business, or hey, we're supposed to work on that work project. It provides you with an opportunity to say, actually, you know what? I've already mapped out my whole week and there is time designated for that tomorrow, or there is time designated for that another time. And what it does is it just reduces that need for you to feel like, if I don't focus on it when it pops into my head, I'll never get it done, which is a big reason why we get distracted and we start focusing on other things when we're with our kids. Okay. It also, again, this is all in the purpose of reducing that irritability. And when you have the feeling that like everything that's important in your life has a place, has a designated time, has an allotted time in your schedule where you can work on that thing, it really helps you just relax a little bit. You don't feel like you're pulled in three different directions at once, because you're like, I can be in my family mom mode right now from 4:30 to 7:30 because everything else has its time. And it's so nice. Okay. So that may be supportive for you. It depends on your life. Obviously, that's a specific strategy that may or may not be helpful, but I would really encourage you to try it. And for those women who maybe work in corporate and who follow a calendar really rigidly during the workday, I've had a couple of clients actually say to me, I never thought about extending that calendar idea into my non-work time, but I really think that could be helpful. And the caveat there is to just not be too rigid with it, right? Like, we don't need to be like, okay, 4:30 to 5 is dinner prep. 5 to 5:30 is dinner. Like, we don't need to make it really rigid. As you heard, I just kind of block it. Like, this is family time, and whatever we do in family time, it's more that I'm telling my brain I'm in mom mode right now. Have a nice transition routine, like we spoke about in the previous episode, between work mode and mom mode. And it's just preparing your brain to be more ready to deal with the things in mom mode, like irritable kids, like hungry kids, like navigating the overwhelm and things like that. I'm not sure if it's coming through on the audio, and I apologize if it is, but living in Mexico means that there's often construction around, and I vaguely can hear through my headphones that there might be hammering. So sorry, it's just the reality of living in a foreign country and living anywhere where there's construction. I cannot control it, but hopefully you can hear it. Okay, so we're moving right along. There's one final piece that I want to share in this episode, and then we'll move on to some really important pieces in the third episode. But this episode, we're talking again about, you know, how we can intentionally manage our environment and our schedule to reduce incidences of us feeling overwhelmed and irritable. And the final one I want to talk about is sensory overload. And that's a really common reason. So sensory overload or sensory overstimulation speaks to those times when it's just like, you just have so much incoming sensory information. The kid is crying, the dog is barking, the phone is ringing. It's just very noisy. And I've often had parents and moms tell me, man, like, having kids is so noisy. And I feel like that all the time. Our life is just, can be really noisy. And you know, you're driving in the car and the kids are playing and they're squealing and screeching, and it's just very loud. And it can also be chaotic with, you know, having a television on or the kids are playing video games. There's just often a lot of sensory input coming in. And so what I want to tell you about when it comes to being more irritable is that increased sensory overload is a huge cause of us feeling overwhelmed and getting irritable and snapping at our kids. Again, the cognitive tank, right? So if your brain is being overwhelmed with sensory information, your cognitive resources are going down and fast, right? Your tank is emptying quickly. So one strategy I want to encourage you to consider when it comes to reducing this whole issue is being intentional about reducing the sensory information in your life. Okay. So this sounds simple, and it is, but it's like looking at turning down the television, or maybe turning it off, or having your kids wear headphones if they're watching something on their iPads. Or, you know, if you're a family that typically has the TV on while you're cooking dinner, well, let's consider turning it off. Or even changing the radio or the music that you listen to. I love listening to music, but sometimes all I need to feel just a little less activated is to change it to music without words, right? Like, to just change it to some kind of like acoustic, no lyrics, where it's just calming, relaxing music. That could be enough to turn down the sensory overwhelm. And I just feel a little more patient, a little more present, a little more calm. This also might look like turning down the lights. So some of our households, our kitchens can have really bright, harsh lighting. And even that is very overwhelming to our senses. And if you're in this state where the kids are really loud and you're making dinner and everyone's hungry and all the things, the lights can feel really harsh and can just kind of push over the edge. So if you have dimmers or something, or you can shut off the light or turn over the dining table light instead of the kitchen one, whatever works in your life, the premise is reducing the overwhelming stimulus that is coming into the brain. Okay. This also might look like putting a dog outside, or, you know, something that you can do to just reduce all the extra chaos in your life. One final recommendation, and you might chuckle at this, but I often say, like, I talk about this particular tip so often that Instagram shows me mom earplugs on my ads. And what it is like, it is completely okay if you feel as that you're somebody who gets really overwhelmed with the noise of your life, of having kids and things like that. There are earbuds or earplugs that you can put in that dampen the noise. Okay. By no means am I saying like put on things you can't hear your kids ever. Like, no, we want to still be safe and we can still hear them. But there is a lot of value to just turning down the volume by muffling all of the noise. So if you have really loud kids that like to shriek, it's very noxious to the nervous system. It makes me very anxious and very irritable very fast. If my kids are screaming and shrieking, even if they're playing, but they're really loud, it just makes me more tense and it makes me more likely to lose my marbles and yell at them. And so sometimes even just popping in my Apple AirPods and putting it on like noise canceling mode can make a huge difference. I can still hear them. They know I can hear them. I can talk to them. I can still engage with them. I just feel less overwhelmed. So that's kind of like a final little tip. You don't have to use AirPods, obviously. You could literally just get like industrial earplugs, but you know, something that you can hear the kids, but maybe not just hear the shrillness of the volume in your household. Okay. So this episode was a big one. And I mean, that's why I'm glad I broke this down into three parts, because combining all of these strategies from the first episode and the second episode will really help you feel less irritable, feel less tense, and hopefully snap at your kids less, but also help you develop some really beautiful self-compassion, grace, and understanding for yourself when it happens, because inevitably it will, right? It's part of parenting. Okay. And we're going to talk about that in our third episode. I'm really excited for this one. In the next episode, we're going to talk about some research about what creates emotionally resilient and healthy kids, and how our freaking out on them or losing our patience or being irritable can actually not always be a bad thing. So stay tuned for that. If you have found this episode helpful, I would love to hear from you. Please send me a message on Instagram, share it, tag me, let me know if you have friends. I mean, all of us moms can probably use this information. So if you have a friend who you know is dealing with a lot of irritability with her kids and feeling bad about it, please send her this series. It is absolutely just my pure heart intention that more women feel less shame and feel less self-criticism around this, because it's so common. So it's been wonderful chatting with you. I hope you found this helpful, and I will catch you in episode 3 of this series.